Today on Compassion Radio.
And if you're not connected and if you don't know anybody, you're stuck, you're being beaten up, you're being oppressed.
You're at risk for human trafficking.
I was at risk of human trafficking. How can I say I'm not a prostitute today because I'm good? No, it's because women of God came alongside me, took me in, loved on me, fed me, clothed me, gave me a home, and gave me counsel. That's why. That's why I stay pure. Not because I'm good and wonderful. I'm the daughter of the King, and it is time to do that for other ladies.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Watef is a former Muslim living in Tunisia. Today, she shares her powerful testimony with Bram of how God provided for her and directed her every step after she was disowned and thrown out on the street by her father simply for accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. This eye-opening conversation offers a dramatic look at the social impact on a Muslim, especially a woman, when they turn from Islam and embrace Jesus. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's the final part of that conversation.
So, Watef, thank you for coming back to tell us more of your story today.
You're welcome.
Now, what happened after you stepped out of your family's home and your father felt you had abandoned and betrayed him, and you went to live in safety for a time with some friends who were Christians?
That time was a time of growing, a time of discipleship, a time of finding myself, a time of just trusting God. So I was volunteering at the church. I found a job. I kept going to my local church. And at the same time, I kept remembering my family. So if there is somebody's birthday, I'll buy a gift and I'll send it over with a cousin. And then sometimes that gift was not received, maybe, but I did not care. I just continued to pray for my family and want to see them. And it really took my dad 6 years to talk to me again. It's like I see him at weddings and at funerals, and he wouldn't talk to me. But my family went through a crisis.
Okay.
And in that crisis, I don't want to share what exactly it was. It's just private for my family. But somehow I came in, and I was part of trying to find a solution. And here I am, the person that my dad thought, oh, I betrayed them, I don't love them. I come with all the love that is inside me and I pour it and I share in the pain. And wow, she loves us. She's part of us. She hasn't forgotten about us.
They weren't forsaken after all.
No, no. And then after that, my older brother got married, and it is the responsibility of the sister to take care of the wedding and to kind of be like the person in charge of giving the favors and the sweets and the coffees.
The producer.
Yeah, and I was in charge of the waiters. And I was in the back, and one of my dad's friends saw me, and he doesn't know me. And then he met him in the cafe the following week, and he's like, oh boy, that girl of yours, she's with 10 men. She was spicy. She took care of the whole place. You should be proud of her. And then it's like, this man is telling my dad, you should be proud of her. And it's like, he doesn't know what's going on, but it did something in my dad's heart. And he went to my mom and told her. He said,
the power of speaking well of somebody.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't know. I was just me. It's my brother's wedding. Of course I'm going to do all I can to... It was cool that he told my dad there. And then in my job, I worked at the school, and the school was burned by the extremists.
Wow, the school was.
Yes, it was an American school, and the extremists attacked the school. And
what year was this?
This was 2000. 12 or 13.
This is shortly before the Arab Spring was coming.
Right after.
Right after that.
Oh. Yeah. And so I was the PR person of the school. And I was on the radio and I was on TV. And here is my dad sitting in the cafe and his daughter is on the radio. Or his daughter is on the TV. And he's proud of his little girl that he thought she left to be a Christian. And he's no longer ashamed of me. Because
especially standing up the new danger, the conflict that was coming to Tunisia that the Tunisians had to face down, which was the influence of ISIS and Daesh, if they were going to actually take over or shatter the government like they had done so many other places. It was a very dangerous time for the country. And here are you standing up in the name of Jesus on behalf of the entire country and speaking peace over this country.
Yeah.
And that made your dad proud. That can only have come from the Holy Spirit.
Oh, I have to believe that the Holy Spirit moves everywhere. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just change us, but it changes people around us.
And the people around you were being changed.
Yeah.
So what happened next?
So next is like, it's like, it melts. There's no issues, there is no problem. And I start visiting my family, they start visiting me. I got some saving and I decided I'm going to buy an apartment. And I was able to call my dad and said, would you go with me to choose an apartment? And he's proud. He's helping his daughter buy an apartment. So it's like, I think it's pride and shame. And when it changes, everything changes. So instead of having shame, there is pride. He's proud of me. And he watches my life and I don't back out on Jesus. I still follow Jesus. I still love Jesus. I mean, today, my dad is the one that drives me when I go and speak to 12 women near the Algerian border and minister to them. He's the one that goes with me because it's dangerous. He's like, you can't drive there alone. I'll take you. And he goes with me. He takes my mother and they drive me there and they stay and wait for me until I minister to these women. It takes 2 days, but they go. So my Muslim dad is helping me speak to women, minister to women.
He's also helping the gospel of Christ to go forth in this country.
Yes.
Your father's a missionary.
Yes. It's like I'm a big believer or disciple of them before they even accept Christ. So when they accept Christ, they're ready. It's like I had so many conversations with him, telling him, what does it mean? It's living life before them and allowing them to see what Jesus did in my life. It's just wanting to be a light amongst them because I can't imagine being up there and not having my parents. They need Jesus. So pray for them.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by going to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445 to find out more about the exciting projects this ministry is taking part in. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. Stay with us now for a brief time of worship.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
We talk about the Christian life. We often stop at the conversion, and we say, now you're a Christian, you're on the inside. Your story is one of discipleship and sanctification, of following God into the things of God.
Yes.
And seeing how he transforms you and others around you. And that the true mark of Christian discipleship is the wake behind you, how the waters move because you're passing through them. And the Spirit of God moving around you and leading you on to new things. So what kind of things is God leading you on to now, Awande?
Right now, what I'm doing. So when people describe you, they say she's a church planter. Mm. So maybe in your country, planting 30 churches is a really good number. For me, in the last 17 years, it's two. Mm-hmm. And two, that's a big number for a woman who is the only church leader in her country. So it's two churches. So for us, it's a big number.
With that number. Okay? The number to me is a miracle, Awande, that you're talking about starting churches. And you mean creating them from scratch, not just being sent out from a church to go plant a church.
From a Bible study in my living room.
And building
to become
those
in a church.
To be strong enough to believe that God's presence is there, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am present and living like
it. Believe in that.
And living it out with others. And, of course, those churches will grow, and they will also receive persecution of their own.
Yeah.
So you have planted two of those seeds here in this country that are bearing fruit now, but it's a seed that may take many generations, too, to come to full fruit. But you have great faith.
Yeah.
And I need to highlight this for our listeners, too. You are a woman in the Muslim country who, by every stretch of the imagination, has no right whatsoever to be pursuing an authority, pursuing a position of authority.
No.
And, of course, as a pastor, you have great authority, not power, but authority. And there's a big difference.
Yeah.
You live in a country and a society that's all about power and control. And now you're talking about being a servant leader by the way you have grown in the Word of God, the way you have grown up in the Word of God, the way you have shared the Word of God, the way you've lived the Word of God to others, gives you an authority to speak with authority to others about Jesus Christ. And therefore, my dear, you are a pastor. If people are following you and they are following your example, you're leading. Now, we talked last night about the issue of being anointed and being dedicated to the ministry.
Ordained.
And ordained, yes. The word ordained is a big deal for the West because we say, now they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
God ordains his people.
Yeah.
The church comes alongside and confesses and acknowledges what the Holy Spirit has already made clear. And it seems clear to me, Awande, that his seal has been upon you and that you are doing the work. God has called you the pastor and to evangelize. And you are maybe a gift of apostleship before like that. So you planted two beautiful seeds in a country that's ready to grow great fruit. What else is God calling you to do now?
Well, my vision for our church is it's kind of like raise up local leaders. So when I look at our church, I don't say I want to have more members and I want to have a congregation of this many people and I want to have a building and I want to have this. We were meeting in my home, and then eventually we couldn't do that anymore. And now we rent a small room from a local church here, from another denomination. And when I look at each person, I say, he is going to be a leader. He is going to plant a church. So if in a few years I find myself alone again and we have to start another church, and each one of them have planted a church, I'm happy. I don't want to keep them in our congregation. So it's not the model that some people are happy about, because everybody's thinking, how many people do you have in your church?
Right.
And I'm like, it doesn't matter. We have 10 people. Those 10 people are going to be church planters. Mm-hmm. They're going to plant a church of own each. So right now, how can we encourage them and raise them up and lift them up to do that? So that's one thing. The other thing I have been involved with is how can we say? It's something that I've been involved with for the last 5 years. I volunteer at the Safe House for single mothers. Single mothers in my country are outcasts. They're women who are cursed, and that's why they have a child out of wedlock. And their child is a curse. Therefore, nobody would want to help them. Nobody would want to come near them because they're afraid to be cursed. So I know.
When you talk about curse, you're talking about people's superstitions for witchcraft.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
That's just a turn of speech here. Yeah, this is something they literally fear. Power.
Yeah, they do. So they don't help them. Mm. So I've been volunteering with a safe house that is run by a government and help these women. And from that safe house, I started a course that talks about worth, strength, and purpose. The women, they have worth, they have strength, they have a purpose. Mm-hmm. I tell them, you are a diamond. You are made on the image of God. So it's based on the Bible, the course I give. And
this is probably words that have a hard time getting into hard soil because they've been told all their life they are worthless.
Yes. One of my women, on the fourth session, she said, I learned something new today. She's 50. That I have value. She smiled. It's her first time hearing that somebody say, you have value. You can't be bought. You are priceless. We can't put a price tag on you. In my first session with my women, we made an exercise where we said, hypothetically, we are at a market where we are being sold as slaves. How much do you think we will be bought for? And one of the women put 100 malim, which is a tenth of a dollar.
A diamond.
So that's the worth they think they are. And through the course, women realize no, and then realize they have a purpose. So from that birthed the idea, from that and from kind of like in 2005 when I didn't have a home, birthed the idea of it's time to give back. It's time to do something for rejected women, for abused women, for persecuted women. And me and few friends of mine who are believers too, we started a non-profit that will work on those things. We'll have a vocational training center, and we'll have a safe house eventually. Because after all these years, we still have a problem. Where do we house girls who get thrown out of their parents' house? Where do we put them? We don't have a place for them. And if you're not connected and if you don't know anybody, you're stuck. You're being beaten up. You're being oppressed.
You're at risk for human trafficking at that point.
You're at risk of human trafficking. I mean, I was at risk of human trafficking. How can I say I'm not a prostitute today because I'm good? No. It's because women of God came alongside me, took me in, loved on me, fed me, clothed me, gave me a home, and gave me counsel. That's why. That's why I stay pure. Not because I'm good and wonderful. So it's
because
time
you know
for the
truth.
Yes, I'm the daughter of the King, and it is time to do that for other ladies. It is time to come alongside them and help them. I can't just sit back and say, well, I got everything figured out because people helped me, because I'm special. No, it's time to go back and say, how can I give back? How can I love back the way I was loved? And I'm still being loved. I'm still being supported through mentor, through counseling, through encouragement, through men like you say, no, you are ordained. So we should do that too. So the nonprofit is doing that through training, counseling, and providing
so
safe
the dream
home.
For you is a safe house, someplace these women and children can be safe while they're being redeemed.
It's a big dream.
Yeah, it is.
It's a really big dream. And because it's a big dream, then God will do it.
I'll ask you a rhetorical question, which is this. Is any dream bigger than God?
No.
Okay.
It's just if your dream is too small and you can do it, then it's not for God. It's like with our own strength. So
our dreams need to be somewhere between our powers and God's ability.
Yes. He can do anything. I sometimes describe God as he's extravagant.
Yes, God is extravagant.
When you gave me yesterday the little lozenge for my throat,
yes.
I was like, God brought those for me from America.
Yeah.
He knew I needed them because you had them and still the pack is still open. So he's extravagant. He knows the need before it's even there.
What a great message to end this segment on. Coactive, I pray that we'll have an opportunity again to sit down together and talk more about what God's doing.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing with us today.
You're welcome.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now today, when you support Compassion Radio financially, we're going to send you a copy at your request of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms and Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy at your request today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.